right, welcome back. As I mentioned earlier, sometime tonight, we have close to 10 flashpoints right now. We have China-Taiwan, we have China-Japan, we have China-Philippines. Those three are certainly on the list. We have India-Pakistan, we have Russia-Ukraine, we have Israel, Lebanon, Israel, Gaza on the West Bank, we have Israel, Syria, Israel, Yemen. Where isn't Israel involved one way or another? We have the United States involved with, well, it's actually Israel dash the U.S. involved with Ukraine. Certainly the greatest shame of American history, in my view, in terms of international geopolitics, is our ignoring the starvation this very minute of hundreds of thousands of children in Gaza. This country has stood with the likes of Israel. And if that isn't straight from hell, I don't know what is. You don't do that to other human beings. Sorry, these people who are being starved to death were not involved with October 7th. Not at all. In fact, there are a lot of Israelis who feel unquestionably that October 7th was an inside job. False flag. All right, that's just a few of the ones I can think of now. There are probably more. And Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight to talk about India-Pakistan. Yeah, Pakistan is said to have 4 days worth of munitions. That's it. That would drive them to nuclear disposal. Well, so to speak, when your light went off, it's gone. They'd have to use their nukes or they wouldn't be in the war with India very long at all. Welcome back, Mitch. How are you?
Good to be here. There's a logic. Let me explain to everybody the logic of Israel in the Gaza Strip. It's a simple logic. Okay, say you have a big bank in downtown L.A., a very, very active bank, where 1,000 people are in that bank at any given moment. Okay, so it's a bank full of money because lots of people use it. So therefore, these five guys go in there to rob the bank, and of course the cops show up and they take hostages and they're holding them at bay, right? So according to the logic that Israel uses, we should drop a 500-pound bomb on that bank and kill 1,000 people to get those five stinking little robbers, okay? That is the logic of Israel. That is the logic that we support, So it's absurd, actually, but that is in essence what they are doing, and if I say what they are doing, it's what we are doing. Israel does not exist without the United States. There is no Israel without the United States. So what you see Israel doing, that is not Israel doing it. That is the United States doing it. So let me get to India, Pakistan. Okay. You'll love this, okay? So last week, there was a terrorist attack in the Indian state of Kashmir where 26 innocent civilians on vacation were just totally gunned down. Regular people with their wives and kids out there trying to enjoy the scene. It's a very beautiful place, okay? So this is it. India has had enough. They are drawing a line here. They are not going to accept this anymore. So India said that Pakistani intelligence planned, financed, and supported the attack, that the government of Pakistan was directly responsible. Okay. So Pakistani intelligence officers said clearly and openly that the United States and United Kingdom planned, financed, and supplied the Pakistani terrorists that did it. Of course, they did it with the assistance of the ISI, Pakistani intelligence, but it was the United States that decided that this was going to happen. Okay?
Yes,
that
indeed.
The United States government was directly responsible, and Pakistan was just following orders from the United States. I think I sent you some video clips of this. This is what Pakistan is saying openly, that the United States made this attack. Okay, Pakistan just helped carry it out. They're just following orders from us. Okay, so you got to ask yourself, America's objective?
Hold on. Let's pull back just a little. If we look at the big picture, The U.S. has tried to be India's big brother in some ways. China has sidled up to Pakistan to a significant degree. So that's the layout there, is it not? We've got China, Pakistan, U.S., India. Is that pretty fair at this point?
I'm going to get into that because what I'm going to get into is what is America's objective? So the United States is trying to drive a wedge between Russia and China. This is super important to the United States, very important. Russia backs India and China backs Pakistan. America has the motive and the opportunity. Let me tell you, when the Pakistanis are saying that we insisted on that, doing this terrorist attack, this is not conspiracy theory. This is nothing weird. This is obvious as hell, okay? So what is the issue with Kashmir that the United States hopes to exploit? In 1947, when India got its independence from the British, they had decided to partition India into a Muslim nation called Pakistan and a Hindu nation called India. Each political division had to decide which side they were going to. Kashmir was led by a Sikh ruler called the Maharaja. He decided that he wanted to be part of India. The problem was that Kashmir was about 77% Muslim, and the people wanted to be part of Pakistan. This was a problem like Israel and the Muslims. Just as the UN is most often against Israel when it comes to their oppression of Muslims, and only the United States stops any UN action against Israel by vetoing it in the Security Council, it is the same with Kashmir. The world is always against India, and it has Russia in the Security Council that reliably vetoes any resolutions against India. So the relationship between the United States and Israel and India and Russia is essentially the same based on that U.N. Security Council veto, okay? So this is a solid, solid alliance, all right? So this is why India will never, never sanction Russia or betray Russia, no matter what. They know that the USA will never have their back. This goes deeper.
That's lesson number one for India. The U.S. is not to be trusted, and you are right to mention that.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. No,
we would betray them in a heartbeat if it serves our interests. Just like we have everybody around the world, you know, all the time. We always do it. Once we've used somebody, we just dump them and forget about them.
And who's behind those actions?
The Taiwanese and Taiwan. I mean,
who's
betray our allies.
Who's behind all of these betrayals in many cases? It's almost always the same people that are pulling our strings.
There's no ands, buts, or ifs. Okay, so the hatred between India and the Muslims runs deep. The Muslims began invading India in 800 A.D. Over the next 1,000 years, the Muslims exterminated 400 million Hindus. Muslims consider Hindus polytheists and have a duty to murder them. Hindus deserve death simply because they are polytheists.
Unreal.
From 1757 to 1858, the British East India Company started to control India and Pakistan. It was all about business in those days, okay? Just for some trivia, the same Lord Cornwallis that surrendered to Washington at Yorktown later became a governor general of India. Also, the very last battle of the American Revolutionary War was a naval battle fought off the coast of India in 1783. So, it's just trivia. So, in 1857, company soldiers mutinied. Mm-hmm. This was called the Sepoy Rebellion. The British troops had
S-E-P-O-Y? Sepoy? S-E-P-O-Y?
Sepoy. In 1858, the British government formally took over India, which at the time included what is now India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. The Christian British proceeded to murder 100 million Hindus in order to get India under control. And that is over approximately a 40 to 80 year time period from 1858 to the 1920s, when finally they got it under control. Okay,
wow.
100 million. Hindus in order to get it under control. The current party in control of in India, the BJP, is a Hindu nationalist party, and they hate both Muslims and Christians. Okay, this is another reason why India will not trust America or Europe, is because they're the Christians that slaughtered them. So why would they ever trust us? Okay, this is a big thing. India will not turn its back on Russia because it's an enemy of Pakistan and does not trust the preachy and patronizing Europeans and Americans. You know, Indians are stupid people, and we know how they should live their lives and what they should do and stuff. And the Indians, frankly, don't want to hear it. Okay. So currently, India is preparing for war. They will attack Pakistan in retaliation for the terrorist attack. They will attack. They will attack. I want to emphasize that. They're just planning that attack now. India is done with the terrorism. Its patience is over. Pakistan said it would retaliate with nukes. With nukes. India believes them. It's preparing its population for nuclear war right now.
Well, the Pakistanis said they had about 350 nukes aimed at you, speaking toward the Indian government. In other words, they've got 4 days of traditional munitions in inventory. They're not going to be able to fight a conventional war, no matter how good their military may be. It's going to have to go right to nuclear, or they'll be out of it.
It will.
That's the way it looks anyway.
It will. So,
I don't know.
Bangladesh said it would invade India and take over all the Indian states to their north, and they encourage China to help them. Russia and China know that this is about the U.S. driving a wedge between them. Russia and China are aware of this. Russia wants India and Pakistan to talk because they know this is intended to drive a wedge between China and Russia. But I want you to pay attention to something. Russia and India are very close allies, Pakistan is just an ally of convenience for China. It's not critical to them.
Got it.
Okay. So the main ally of Pakistan is the United States. We're the ones who pull the strings. We overthrew Imran Khan to put him into power.
See, you don't hear about that in the news much,
Sheikh Hasina in Bangladesh to put our boy in power. Okay,
right.
China knows this. They know that the leaders of Pakistan and Bangladesh are American puppets. They know that. Okay, so it's to see how they act. Okay. So there's a very good chance that this war will happen and that it will go nuclear, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let me go on with Ukraine. So let's talk about the minerals deal. What's the mineral deal about? The minerals deal is a way to keep supporting Ukraine against Russia. This is Donald Trump not keeping his deal with the voters to quit giving Ukraine money. He misinterprets publicly what we wanted him to do. He says that we wanted him to make peace. No, we wanted him to quit giving money to Ukraine. I thought that was crystal clear. Crystal clear. But he's warped that in his mind to know we want him to make peace between Russia and Ukraine. Let me ask you, Mr. Trump, why would the American people give a shit about peace in Ukraine and Russia? Why do we care about Ukraine at all? Why are we concerned with peace over there? We don't want to spend a nickel on it. And we are interested in it. He just doesn't get it. Okay? So he could not make peace. He blames Russia, even though everyone can see that it was Zelensky that obstructed peace. Europe is absolutely determined to have a war with Russia. They want to invade Russia, occupy it, and take all of its resources for themselves. They openly say this. They are delusional. The European leaders want a war with Russia, okay? They want that war with Russia. They think that the Europeans think that they can invade and beat Russia in a conventional war. Can you imagine that? They think they can invade and beat Russia.
I cannot fathom how they could possibly think that's possible. That's beyond dysfunctional. I mean, are they playing? They got to be playing some other angles here. They can't believe that. You can't.
Oh, it's
too stupid.
It's very delusional.
Well.
So this leads to another trigger point. Okay, so Russia says, well, listen, why don't we have a three-day truce during the victory parade days and stuff, celebrating the end of World War II. And then Zelensky says, I'm going to tell world leaders right now, do not go to Moscow for this victory parade because we're going to bomb it. We are going to have terrorist attacks there. We are going to bomb it. We are going to kill people. Okay. So what was Russia's response? Russia's response is, if you attack our Victory Day parade in Moscow on May 9th, on May 10th, the Ukraine will no longer exist. Okay, this is an ultimatum.
Okay, Ukraine is... Ukraine is so destroyed now. It's destroyed. It's lost its patriotism, its nationalism, its identity. 14 million have fled. Over 1 million have been massacred by the Jewish Zionist cabal that is running the country. They're killing Christians. The country's ruined. It's ruined. I don't know who's eventually going to claim ownership of it, but it's over in Ukraine. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know what amazes me is how clearly, the Ukrainian military has somehow been programmed to hate Russians to the extent that many in the military, I'm not saying all, actually kill Russian civilians. They killed a lot of Russian civilians in the Kursk invasion. They did. Why is what is it about Ukraine and Russia that causes that? I don't think Zelensky can incite it. There must be something going on here that I don't see. I don't know what it is.
Well, listen, I hate to belabor this point, but for the audience, let me draw this picture, okay, so they can understand how delusional Europe is, how delusional Trump is, how delusional everybody is about the Ukraine thing, okay? And the problem is people just don't study geography anymore. People can't look at a map and see what the problem is. The problem is screaming at you. And what that problem is to the west of Russia's solid wall of NATO. To the east is Japan, South Korea, and Alaska, solid wall of NATO. And if you go north from Russia, it's all NATO. That'd be Norway, Greenland, Canada, the United States. So they're surrounded on those three sides. To the south of Russia, let's call it the far south. The far south, if you draw a line from Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, UAE, and Oman, we have, to the far south of Russia, we have a solid wall of military bases, okay? So what is the near south? Well, the near south is Turkey, where we have an American base, but we have two American bases, but Turkey is not doesn't consider itself an enemy of Russia. And they're not. Russia's not even our enemy, okay? Russia's not an enemy of anybody, okay? So that leaves Ukraine right there. If they allow Ukraine to go into NATO, that pinches off half of their south, right there, half of their south. There is no way in no world, no feasible, possible way that Russia would ever accept Ukraine in NATO. Never. There's no way they would accept NATO troops in Ukraine. Never. They would never accept that. This is an existential threat to them, because if they allow themselves to be completely surrounded, they're dead, and they know it. So they will resort to nuclear war before that they will let Ukraine go to NATO. This is just
well,
I
agree. NATO or, I don't know. I don't know what else they could do, but it's not going to happen.
This is Ukraine is the near south, okay?
Yeah,
that's their near south, and Iran is their near south, okay? So there's 2 points. If you look back to last week when he fired Mike Waltz, okay? The reason they gave is they said that Waltz was working with Netanyahu to get ready with the war with Iran when
Trump viewed that as betrayal?
He didn't want to do that.
Did he view that as betrayal? I think he should.
But that's not it. That's not the whole thing. The whole thing is Waltz was working. He's encouraging Ukraine to fight on. He's encouraging the Europeans. When you see Congressman Kennedy from Louisiana get up and say we have to crush Russia and Ukraine, it's a knife fight. Or we see Lindsey Graham get up and start talking about all this stuff we got to do against Russia. That's Mike Waltz talking to them. And Trump knew it. And see, that's not Trump's policy. He's basically saying Mike Waltz was working against his policy. Okay, not about what is right or what's wrong, but against Trump's personal policy.
Well, that's Trump's ego. That's his ego.
Yeah, it's Trump's ego, exactly. So you know, I got my this month's copy of Foreign Affairs magazine. The cover of it is The Committee to Run the World. And it's all these articles about what's going on in the world and what we should do about it. For the audience, the Council of Foreign Relations is the think tank that decides our foreign policy. What you read in there is what we are going to do. This is going to be our policy.
That's right.
Is where we sound it out, okay?
Yeah.
When I read through these pages, what I notice is nobody there is aware of what's actually going on. They're just like dreaming up foreign policy, like without regard to what the Russians think, without regard to what the Chinese think. They think we can just, it's like magic. It's like a new age. We'll visualize a world where Russia does what we want them to, or China does what we want them to, where we can talk them in to doing something incredibly stupid that is totally against their interest and the welfare and good of their people. Okay? It is delusional. These people, what I just told you about Russia, there is nobody in Foreign Affairs magazine that will ever, ever say that. Okay? If you want to know why we're going to go to a nuclear war soon and why we're going to have a civil war and a revolution in America, it is because people think this way. Okay?
Got it. Yeah.
So,
well,
I would
submit that people under the age of 30, Gen Z, and the bottom end of the millennial group, aren't thinking at all. They don't know how to think anymore. All they can do is react to the damn cell phone and their social media lives, which are not living. That's not living at all. Go ahead.
Yep. So I can explain to you from my own life how this came about, okay? Because I'm guilty of this, too. I went to college. As a matter of fact, because I had the GI Bill, I actually went to lots of college, okay? I got 5 bachelor's degrees. Most of them summa cum laude, magna cum laude, okay, in geography, history, political science, economics, international relations, and a master's in geography. Well, how did I get that summa cum laude? How did I graduate number one in the class? Because I learned something. This is something I learned in the Army when I went to Army classes. They said, we're not teaching you how to think. We're teaching you to repeat to us what we want to hear. Okay, so when I went to college, if I took like an English class, English literature, the professor in the first few weeks would say, oh, well, I really love D.H. Lawrence. I'm a big fan of his. Well, actually, I don't like D.H. Lawrence, but I did my papers on D.H. Lawrence's literature in order to get an A, because the professors have egos. They want you to think like they did. So if you repeat to them what they want, what they think, then you'll get an A.
Very shrewd.
Okay, so I did get A's because I always just said what the professor wanted me to. When my youngest son went to college, I told him the same thing. He'd never been to school, so when he went to college, he needed some coaching. I said, just repeat what the professor says. So listen to me. Do not believe what he says, but repeat what he says because you're stroking an ego. You're not thinking and being academic. You're just stroking an ego, okay? He got all A's in college, okay?
Yeah.
So here's what the problem is I knew the difference. I knew that when I was saying wonderful things about D.H. Lawrence and his literature, I didn't actually believe that. It's just that's what he wanted to hear. Okay, and every course I took, whether it be a philosophy course or sociology or psychology, whatever, I just told them what they wanted to hear. I didn't believe it myself. I just regurgitated what they said. But what's wrong is that so many people actually believe what the professor says, and that's, it's delusional, and that's why we don't have anybody that can understand anything.
I ran the story the other day that most Gen Z people are now saying out loud that college education is a complete waste of money and time.
It is.
That's where they got. Well, they're right, but unfortunately they came to this conclusion for the wrong reasons. It's been a waste of time for generations. But unless you're really interested in some scientific area of research or whatever, and you want to become a professional, then it's different. But liberal arts majors in college, a total waste of time. Go ahead.
Well, listen, back in 1990, I got admitted to the University of Kansas. I was going to go for my PhD in geography because I thought, well, I'll be a geography professor and make money, right? So, but I had seen in the geography department, especially when you don't see it when you're an undergraduate, but when you become a graduate and you start hanging out with professors, you start seeing what they're about and seeing what they have to do is they have to create an interest in this study so they can have a job, right? If people lose interest in geography, well, then they can't have a job. So like I think I said last time, is they got into this big kick about urban planning and development because that's a geography thing, and they could open that up as a field of study and have lots of people come. But the big one, was they were pushing people, like in graduate school, I had to do climatology and meteorology. The big thing was, because climatology is a physical geography discipline, right? So they pushed global warming. This is a scam to get money for their department, to get professorships and stuff. It is just a pure scam. Okay. Fortunately, I was a street kid. I was a street smart street kid. So when I went to the university level and I saw the scams that the university pulls on people, I could see it as a scam. I could see that this is a racket. When I went on the police department, I could see that the justice system is a racket. You know what it's a racket for? It's a jobs program for lawyers. Okay. Well, there's far more lawyers than there are policemen. Did you know that? There are more lawyers than there are cops.
Any other way than that. There's so many lawyers out there now. I had a hint. But, yeah, it's true.
And they take you to the cleaners.
They're rapists, financial rapists, moral rapists. I have no respect for that profession.
They are.
I've been through the mill a few times, and they're awful. Awful.
So when you go to these, like John Hopkins or Georgetown University School of Diplomacy, they're not teaching you to understand how the other people think. They're teaching you, this is the way we think, and we're going to impose this on the rest of the world. That's what they're teaching. They're not asking you the question, well, is it the right thing to do to intervene in another country over moral issues or something, you know. They're not asking you if. They're telling you, yes, we have to. Because why? Because this creates more jobs for diplomats and soldiers. Okay,
right. That's true.
So everything is a racket, okay? It just is. That's what I've seen my whole life, you know. The point is that, so we have India and Pakistan that can erupt in a nuclear war. That could turn into escalate into a nuclear war involving the rest of the countries that are nuclear. Once the first atom bomb goes off, okay, just as soon as the first nuclear weapon goes off, you're going to start seeing them going off all over the globe, okay? And that's a survival mechanism. You've got to beat everybody else to the punch. It's just that's the logic of nuclear war. You have to shoot first. And see, we have this sacred thing where you don't use nuclear weapons, especially after Nagasaki and Hiroshima. You don't use nuclear weapons, okay? But once somebody takes that step and does it, then everybody's going to do it, okay? It's just what's going to happen. If Zelensky manages to kill a bunch of people in the Moscow Victory Day parade, especially if he kills a foreign leader. Imagine if he managed to kill Chairman Xi during this attack on the Victory Day thing. What do you think the consequences of that will be? Well, already Russia has said Ukraine will cease to exist if that happens. But you're not going to be talking just about Russia. You're going to be talking about China, too. China's not going to put up with that nonsense.
This is kind of a dumb question, but why has Russia not fought this war to win it, to flatten Ukraine and then deal in negotiations to give them back a piece of it, just to shut them up and keep them on their good behavior? Russia not able to flatten Ukraine? Has Russia really been in war for three years, unable to flatten Ukraine?
We need to kind of keep our eyes open here because we keep saying, oh, we're going to have these negotiations with Russia. We're going to pressure Russia to do
something. No, not happening. It's all
after what
dressing,
I just told
I
you about
it.
The geography of Russia, the geopolitics, there is nothing we can do to Russia that's going to make them come to the table. We cannot blackmail them. We cannot threaten them.
I agree.
We cannot do anything to change them. Second point, Russia's doing okay. Russia's not hurting from this war. Russia's doing just fine with this war. Okay? What is it that we're going to give them that would make them want to stop? They're advancing every day. They're on the offensive. They're
honing their military technologically and personnel-wise into the world's number one fighting force. I mean, they've got more tech.
Yes, they are.
If you've seen the video at the top of Rents.com, you've got to go look at that.
I watched it today. Yeah, I did.
That is some advanced tech. Really advanced tech. I don't know what those waves, those horizontal lines mean. But probably it means neutralization of all electronics on board. It could mean anything. That is some advanced stuff. Yes, the Russian military-industrial complex is making huge strides. It's walking away with new technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they're testing on real people in real battlefield situations. It's quite a scene, what's going on. Go ahead.
You know, the United States has not fought a modern military. We haven't been to war with one.
No.
So we don't know what to do. I mean, Russia is every day engaged in modern warfare. Not only just modern warfare, but, you know, it's the whole drone warfare thing is sort of a new thing that the United States has no experience in. I mean, we have Predator drones up there blowing up farmers down in their goat farms and stuff, but we don't have any, like, not using these against actual combatants, modern day combatants in the field, trained military people and stuff. So, and just for the people to know, I watched some video. I tried to watch videos of what the Russians and the Ukrainians do to fight, and I watched some interesting videos where the Ukrainian drones are chasing Russian vehicles, and the Russians are blowing them out of the air with shotguns. Just a shotgun you can go buy down the store. Okay, so, you know, keep that in mind, you know. Always keep in mind that even the most modern thing, a very rudimentary weapon can take down a modern device. Okay,
right.
The trying to have an electronic pulse weapon to knock them out of the air, it's too expensive, too involved, too big, but a shotgun will do the same thing.
The shotgun is turning out to be apparently quite effective. They I forget, it's like 00 buck. They use something that spreads out and will take out a drone. You just have to wait till the drone gets within, 100 feet of you, and they can fire away and knock it down.
Yeah, well, 100 feet, it would be good. You'll knock it out at 100 feet. But, yeah, just double-watt buck, you know. I mean, that's fine.
So, I have a 20-gauge. Should I be trading that 20-gauge for a 12?
No, actually, you know what? If you already have a 20, you're doing fine, okay? A 20 is sort
just
of
a couple thousand rounds
well, not
of
only
double
that,
O
but
buck.
You have to carry it around, you know, and stuff. So it's lighter weight, et cetera, et cetera. So,
the
if you
physics
have
of it
20,
are actually close to a 12. The speed, the muzzle speed, and it's lighter.
Yeah.
It doesn't kick as much. So I should buy what 1,000 rounds of double O buck, something like that, for it, and I'll be set for 2 or 3 wars.
Oh, yeah, get to double-watt buck. So, well, listen, everybody, what I'm trying to say is, you know, I don't say anything until I watch and I observe and I see what the trend is. Okay, so if you'll notice in January, I wasn't really that worried about imminently going into World War III, okay, but here we are 3 months later, and I'm telling you, we're just as in much danger today as we were under the pedophile idiot Biden back in January, doing something stupid, because that's what our leaders do. They do things that are stupid. They do things that are going to get us killed. Okay, so they're taking gambles, and you know what? They're not gambling with their lives. They're gambling with your lives. And they don't care about you.
It's just like a drunkard
walking into a casino, just throwing the money away. That's what our lives are to them.
Well, let's go back to India.
Think about this.
100 million dead.
Russia.
100 million.
Yeah,
just in India.
100 million under the British. Just think about this. So in Ukraine, this is a war that back in March, I think March 30th, New York Times said, we are running that war. That's our generals, our colonels, our captains that are directing that war. And they are throwing human lives away like it's nothing. So when your kids go off to a war under this government, these people in the military will be throwing your kids' lives away like nothing, like in World War I. They're just going to throw their lives away. They don't care about them. I mean, we're seeing they don't know nothing. I mean, the Cavoli plan, which was the cursed thing, what a waste of human life that was. And what did Ukraine gain from it? Nothing. They gained nothing. All they did was lose a bunch of people, a bunch of equipment, a bunch of money. And that's our leader. General Cavoli is still in charge in NATO. That man needs to be fired. He is a hazard to the American people. Okay? So let me just say this, that now we're at this point where they can do, any day they can do something stupid and we can find ourselves in a nuclear war, okay? Any day they could do this. They're working so hard to get us into a nuclear war over Iran, a nuclear war over Ukraine. This is not like the Cold War. This is not like any other time in history. This is a time when we are so blind to the fact that our actions can bring on a thermonuclear war. We are blind to that. We think it's not going to happen. Not we, but our leaders don't think it'll happen. They think, oh, we can gamble with this. Oh, they're gambling with a nuclear war? Are they insane? Well, maybe not insane, but incredibly stupid and ignorant and delusional, okay?
Well, we can throw satanic in there, too, and not get hurt.
Satanic, yes. Yeah. And so this is what I would say. I would tell people, you need now to go stock up on food. Get the stuff you need to get, because it is coming on. You need to take this time to prepare for World War III, for a civil war, and for a revolution in this country, okay? You need to prepare for that. And ultimately, what will follow those things will be the collapse of civilization. So if you get my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War in America, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, I have a chapter on, it's chapter 3, Preparing for the Collapse of Civilization. And I tell you in there the things that you need to get, okay? But what I want you to do when you read that chapter and you're building your go bags and getting your stuff ready, more important than the precise things I say is follow the train of thinking. Of thinking, what do I need? What do I need to have? Because in every place you live, you're going to have different needs. Okay, so you need to have that. Shotguns are relatively inexpensive, so shotguns are good. If you don't have a gun already, a shotgun's a good thing to get. Okay. Another thing is there's bolt action rifles that are relatively inexpensive, and that's your long range shooting. Once again, you're not going to be fighting the Battle of Mogadishu. You're going to be fighting for survival. When you have to shoot somebody, you want to be 500 yards away. You want to get time where you can take your shots and you can run and have a running start on people. You're trying to survive. You're not trying to win a war or win a battle or gain territory. You're trying to stay alive. And you need to think of everything in that framework. So that means don't be seen in the first place. Don't attract attention to yourself, you know, things like this. You need to start playing the what-if game. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Scout out your place now that you're going to go to. Okay, don't just scout out one place. Find alternatives. Because you may get to one place and a dozen people are already there, okay? So you have to kind of think ahead and scout for some. You need water, you need food. You know, listen, right now, even without getting anything fancy, you can buy, like at the grocery store, canned food will last a long time. And if you have, like, sports stores down there, they sell the freeze-dried food, okay, and that'll keep for 20, 30 years, you know. So, get stuff that you can eat on the run. Get, right. You know, protein bars, right. And stuff, you right. Know.
Some of these
get
companies
jerky,
have,
get nuts.
Have sales that are coming up now because everybody's hurting for disposable income, and so they're trying to push products. So keep your eye on them as well. Numana,
okay,
and
when you're thinking about food, listen.
They have really good products, Numana. Go ahead.
Yeah, and canned food. When you're looking at canned food, be sure that you get lots of beans, believe it or not, because that's protein. And you're going to need protein. So, you know, corn and green beans and stuff is fine, but get some good beans, too, because you're going to need protein. That's going to be critical. When civilization collapses and stuff, so get cans of tuna and stuff. You know, make sure you get some canned meats also, not just vegetables. Get some meats too.
I agree. People just don't. I don't know what it is. I think they're Gen Z is they're very confused. A lot of people in the millennial group think the government is still our friend and our servant somehow. They couldn't be more incorrect. Mm-hmm. No one's going to take care of us. No one's going to come in to rescue us. On the contrary, if we don't take care of ourselves, it's going to be horrible. 100 million could be gone here in the U.S. All right? Think about it. We got 330. We could lose 100 million. In fact, I personally think that, as the stats say, this mRNA COVID vax is horrific. I just got a video showing an autopsy of the brain of someone who took the vax, don't know how many times, but the blood clots in the brain, huge, huge in the center of the brain. And this is something that many people who are vaxxed are walking around with right now. And they could stroke out at any time. Go ahead.
Well, it's even more than that. If you think about both civilization collapsing plus the vax and what the vax does. The vax weakens you. So if you had the vax, you have less chances of survival when everything collapses.
Yes, you're weak. Yes, you can't function at the level you need to. Correct.
Right.
You're bedridden or you're nearly bedridden. There are dozens of different things that the spike will do to you that will take you down in pieces, one after the other.
Yep.
You will not be able to function properly. I agree. It's not a joke.
But and then if say you now, stop and think about it, Jeff, the people who did not get the vax are the same people who are probably thinking about how am I going to survive what's coming.
Okay. Most of the people that
took the vax, if you took the vax, you're probably a person who obeys the government, okay? Because that's what the whole thing was about.
Yourself,
it was a massive
sure.
obedience test.
Right.
And they know who the chumps are now.
Right.
And they're that's not going to worry about you. You're not going to make it anyway, okay? So, you know.
Listen,
if somebody out there got snickered into the taking the shot and stuff, this is all I can tell you. Just push on and try to make it. Just try to make it, okay? I mean, you know, there's people that, you know, there was a reason why they wanted you to get boosters, and that is if you got one shot, you might be okay. You might be okay. But with each additional booster shot you got, you have reduced your chances, okay? So, because the purpose of the booster shots was to train your body to accept this RNA. Okay, that's what it's for. It's to accept it because see your body has ribonucleotides that will break it down. So in one shot, maybe it didn't really take very well.
Right.
That's why they want you to take boosters because it'll train your body to not attack that mRNA, and then you're stuck with it. Okay. So there's logic to what they're doing. Okay. I know some people, I still know people that think if you did not get a shot that you actually deserve to be executed. Okay.
They actually
say that.
This
is how bad it is. They
wow.
think you should be executed. You are a threat to humanity if you did not get the shot. Do you realize the level of brainwashing there? And that's not even that intense. Okay, some people are just like some people are more susceptible to hypnotism than other people. You know, I've never been hypnotized, but I know some people that they can be hypnotized in the drop of a hat. Okay, so different people have different resistance to this thing. Okay, so you know, I would give my book, The Final War, is available on Amazon. I've got all the information in there that you need, and basically I also want you to just be able to think like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It goes beyond just the facts, but think in a way that you're thinking about how you can survive. How are you going to get from your home to the outside of the city? How are you going to get there? And there's not just one way to get there. There's multiple ways to get there, okay? See, like, let me just say, a professional criminal, before he does a crime, what he does is he doesn't think about how to do the crime first. He thinks, how am I going to get away first? Because if they can't figure out a solid way to get away, then they're not going to do it, okay? So that should always be the first thing. You need to think like that. A professional criminal looks at the architecture of the city, okay? He's looking at the city like he's a burglar trying to get out of the city. Okay, and you need alternate routes and stuff, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just have to think that way.
I gotcha. Well, planning ahead.
Yeah.
So important. Mitchell, thank you. Again, I don't know how these 8 or 9 different flashpoints can all not explode. They have to. So one of them is going to. And it'll only be done if the controllers want it done. Just keep that in mind. But they want it done. They want people frightened. They want people to suffer. And they want people to die. This is sad.
Not only that, but they are going to do it. They are going to do it. It's not if they're going to do it.
I concur.
They insist upon it.
The timetable is the only thing in question. When?
Yep.
Probably sooner than later. That'd be my guess.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Talk soon.
Take use of this time to get ready, you know?
Yeah. Very good advice. The best. All right. We'll talk soon. You be well. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson. Again, I'm so blessed to have these wonderful people on the program helping all of us understand the dynamics. We get many different views, many different angles of perception, and they're all important. And Mitchell is right there at the top. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Think about preparing. Map a strategy. Do something. All right, see you tomorrow.
And learn. You can pick it up in a year and learn. It doesn't wear out. It's a true phenomenon. Go to trendsjournal.com. That's trendsjournal.com.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rentz.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rentz.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times. You're listening to the Rentz Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide on the net and at Rentz.com.